RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. President Joko Widodo condemns the blast of Kampung Melayu Terminal. Home Minister Cahyokumolo calls for a fight against terrorism and radicalism. Now the news in details. The blast of Kampung Melayu Terminal on Wednesday night gets serious response from President Joko Widodo. The president, who is out of town, assigns directly head of presidential staff, Teten Mastuki, to visit the victims. Teten Mastuki, after visiting the victims' site in Jakarta on Thursday, the President Joko Widodo condemns the blast perpetrators, which are also caused a number of victims killed. The president also gives his empathy to the victims, especially the officers who were injured or died while performing the duty of securing the parade to welcome the month of fasting. Teten Mastuki also said that President Joko Widodo asked to unite against acts of terrorism and radicalism which occur at this moment. Teten added that the united force against terrorism is to promote cooperation with the government. Home Affairs Minister Cahyokumolo has called on Indonesians to step up early detection measures and fight against all kinds of terrorism and radicalism. He made this statement following alleged suicide bombings in Kampung Melayu, East Jakarta, on Wednesday night. The minister also said that the Home Affairs Ministry expresses its sincere condolences on the passing of three police personnel in the incident. The ministry is confident that the police will be able to crack down on the case and reveal the motives behind the attack. The National Police spokesman Inspector General Setio Wasisto alleged the suicide bombers in Kampung Melayu, Jakarta, used pressure cooker bombs. The allegations are based on bomb debris found on the spot. General Setio affirmed that the debris is similar to those found in Bandung. They were pressure cooker bombs. He added that a purchase receipt of pressure cookers was found on one of the bodies of the alleged suspects. Inspector General Setio could not confirm the type of the explosive. The police had been examining the evidence found. Kampung Melayu bus terminal was hit by two alleged suicide bombings at 8:30 p.m. on Wednesday night. Two alleged perpetrators were killed in the incident. Their bodies were scattered in the blast. Eight police on duty also became the victims of the attacks, three of whom were killed. Five civilians were also injured. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Indonesian badminton team defeated Danish squad in Group 1D 3-2 of the ongoing Sudirman Cup badminton tournament, which was held in Gold Coast, Australia on Wednesday. The Indonesians grabbed the victory after Fitriani defeated Mia Blitfeld in the women's single and Gracia Poli Apriani Rahayu that crushed Danish Camelia Reiter-Joel and Christina Pedersen in the women's double. Fitriani defeated Blitfeld 22-24, 21-15 and 21-14. In addition, Anthony Sinisuka Ginting defeated Danish player Victor Axelsen in the second game of the tournament. Playing in Carrara Sport and Leisure Centre Gold Coast, Australia on Wednesday, Axelsen won the game opener with a pretty much amazing score, 13-21. President Joko Widodo handed over 10,000 land certificates to East Java peoples in Malang, East Java Province, Indonesia. The handing over was held symbolically to 12 delegates of all regions throughout East Java. In his speech, the president reminded that communities are able to use the certificates well and wisely. President Joko Widodo perceives that if the certificate is used well, the ownership of the certificate can be helpful to drive the economy of the communities. Certificate which is held by ladies and gentlemen is really used for our family, for our welfare. Do not get precisely because we hold the certificate to be unhappy. Holding already the certificate means that the proof of title to our land is certain. Fortunately, it is also clear. Previously, Minister of Spatial Land Sofian Jalil in his report said that currently there are only 412,000 areas which have been certified in East Java. The government is targeting 500,000 areas in East Java to be certified by the end of 2017. To achieve the target, Minister Sofian Jalil said that there are numbers of institutions declaring their support to the government. A number of real estates and banking companies have proven their support by providing free land certificates to communities in East Java. President Joko Widodo handed over Smart Indonesian Card or KIP to 1,000 students in Malang City, East Java on Wednesday. In his speech, he pointed out that the cards can be used to support students' learning process. The president hopes all Indonesian students can continue education until the last level by using the card. The fund should be used for the things which are related to the school, namely education. The cards can be used to buy books, to buy uniforms, to buy shoes, and to buy school. We want the school children to be able to graduate from elementary school, to enter junior high school, and to graduate from senior high school, senior vocational school, with the smart cards which have been given. And I hope that they keep learning because by learning, the children will obtain their ideals that we want. Furthermore, President Joko Widodo reminded the students, straight competitiveness is occurring now, and it will also emerge tomorrow. Those Indonesian students should have high spirit to learn. The 1,000 Smart Indonesian cards given by the president were provided for a number of students from various educational levels. Indonesia keeps on facing several serious threats. The threats can harm the life order of states and nation and even for the Indonesian future generation. However, Indonesia must be ready to face all threats today and in the future. This was stated by Indonesian Minister Riamizat Priyankudu on the sidelines of panel discussions at Threat Analysis in the Indonesian National Life of National Resilience Perspective at the Indonesian Defense Ministry to Media in Jakarta on Wednesday. There will be real and unreal threats. I affirm that there is not open war threat. Indonesian security is getting better. What is inside is that there are threats of terrorism, natural disaster, cyber, narcotics, and drugs abuse. We must be alert. Do not let us be ready from what is unreal threat, which its cause is extraordinary and we are not ready for this, since it emerges every day and tomorrow. Moreover, Minister Riamizat Priyankudu also explained the next wars for countries in the world are not the direct or physical ones, but the wars are about conflict or dispute one another. Therefore, he urged all state components not to have clash or disputes one another. Indonesian citizens must improve their deeper love for the unitary states of Republic of Indonesia and of the five basic principles Pancasila as the Indonesian state's basic becomes main glue to be implemented through defending state. This was affirmed by Indonesian Defense Minister Riamizat Priyankudu at the panel discussion of threat analysis in the Indonesian National Life of National Resilience Perspective at the Indonesian Defense Ministry to Media in Jakarta on Wednesday. At the context of state resilience, the antibody is Pancasila, five basic principles, which is implemented at the concept of defending state. Through the actualization of the values of Pancasila and through defending state and all states' components, Indonesia will be able to avoid all kinds of threats that destroy and harm the Indonesian Unitary State, ulang, the Unitary State of Republic of Indonesia. Moreover, Defense Minister Yamizal Priyankudu also explained that the existence and identity of the Unitary State of Republic of Indonesia is final and it must be struggled and maintained. He asked Indonesian national components to have willingness and capability to actualize themselves to avoid the foreign ideology effect.
Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Thank you for joining the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. Listener, the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017 ended on April 30th, and now is the time you've been waiting for. The announcement of the winners of Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. Based on the Indonesian Tourism Ministry letter dated on May 5th, 2017, on the winners of Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017, here are the winners. Mitsuaki Horike from Japan, Takashi Kawai from Japan, Akio Uemura from Japan, Prithviraj Purkayasta from India, Pradeep Chandra Kundu from India, Adita Pritika Subramanian from India, Sitong Yang from China, Kong Lei from China, Chao Yanping from China, and Michael Cunningham from Australia. On behalf of Indonesian Tourism Ministry and Voice of Indonesia, we would like to congratulate all the winners. The winners are invited to visit Indonesia from May 27 until 31st, 2017. Those who have been mentioned as the winners in this announcement must complete their travel documents and prominent figure form and send them along with your photo to our email address, wiquiz2017@gmail.com. wiquiz2017@gmail.com. Once again, congratulations, and we are looking forward to seeing you in Indonesia.
Listener, a commentary today entitled Indonesia Keeps Tolerance and Inspire Other Countries. President Joko Widodo reminded many other countries are jealous of Indonesia. Despite having differences in various aspects such as tribe, language, culture, and even religion, Indonesia is still harmonious and full of tolerance, full of brotherhood and unity. In a meeting with interfaith leaders who joined the Association Religious Harmony Forum at Bogor Palace, West Japan last Tuesday, President Joko Widodo affirmed that there is no country in the world that is so diverse, including in terms of religion, like Indonesia. The president also expressed the world's admiration for Indonesia mainly because of the harmony of the nation that has been maintained for 72 years of Indonesian independence. This was revealed directly to President Joko Widodo before several heads of state he had met, such as Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas, Afghan President Ashraf Ghani. The leaders of the countries even asked President Joko Widodo to maintain the harmony and unity that Indonesia has. Take, for example, President Joko Widodo mentioned a special message delivered by Afghan President Ashraf Ghani, who visited Indonesia early April 2017. He was impressed by Indonesia's immense variety, numerous tribes, many religions, many local languages, and advised President Joko Widodo to maintain the harmony and unity that Indonesia has. Surely it is expected that the admiration of other countries does not make Indonesia fall asleep. Due to threats that could harm harmony and unity, it could come from within and abroad. History has recorded that every region in Indonesia in the past struggled in its own way against the invaders, but the result was less affected. But with the spirit of unity, Indonesia finally managed to achieve independence. It is natural that in life there are differences of views, friction, and misunderstanding. However, it is expected that it will become a lesson which can strengthen Indonesia to become a more suffering nation. Indonesia must continue to make other countries jealous with the spirit of tolerance and unity that it has. The admiration from other nations could be a reminder and motivation of Indonesian nation to keep the strong tolerance to be more admired by other countries. The diversity, the strong unity and tolerance that Indonesia maintains can be an inspiration to other countries to create a more peaceful world. Listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listeners. Nice to meet you again in our regular program in History over RRL Service Voice of Indonesia. We start an event on May 25, 1958, when Ismail Marzuki passed away. Ismail Marzuki was born on 11 May 1914 and passed away on 25 May 1958. Was an Indonesian composer, songwriter and musician who wrote between 202 and 240 songs between 1931 and 1958, including numerous popular patriotic songs. Some of his best known works are Gugur Bunga and Rayuan Pulau Kelapa. In 1968, he was honored with the creation of the well-known Taman Ismail Marzuki, the Ismail Marzuki Part Open Coach Team, which is a cultural center in Menteng, Central Jakarta. In 2004, he was declared as one of the national heroes of Indonesia. The next event was in 1963, when the Organization of African Unity, OAU, was established. The Organization of African Unity, OAU, was established on 25 May 1963 in Addis Ababa on the signature of OAU Charter by representatives of 32 governments. Furthermore, 21 states have joined gradually over the years, with South Africa becoming the 53rd member on 23 May 1994. The OAU aims to promote unity and solidarity of African states, coordinate and intensify their cooperation and efforts to achieve a better life for the peoples of Africa, defend their sovereignty, territorial integrity and dependence, eradicate all forms of colonization from Africa, promote international cooperation, giving due regard to the Charter of United Nations and Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and coordinate and harmonize members' political, diplomatic, economic, educational, cultural, health, welfare, scientific, technical, and defense policies. And the last event was in 1979, when American Airlines Flight 191 crashed. American Airlines Flight 191 was regularly scheduled passenger flight from O'Hare International Airport in Chicago, Los Angeles International Airport. McDonnell Douglas DC-10 crashed on May 25, 1979, moments after takeoff from Chicago. All 258 passengers and 13 crew on board were killed, along with two people on the ground. It is the deadliest aviation accident to have occurred in the United States. Investigators found that as the jet was beginning its takeoff rotation, engine number 1 on the left wing separated and flipped over the top of the wing. As the engine separated from the aircraft, it severed hydraulic fluid lines that locked the wing leading edge slats in place, and it damaged a 3-foot section of the left wing's leading edge. Air loss on the wing resulted in uncommanded retraction of the outboard slats. As the jet attempted to climb, the left wing stalled while the right wing, with its slats still deployed, continued to produce lift. The jetliner subsequently rolled to the left until it was partially inverted, reaching a bent angle of 112 degrees before crashing in an open field by a trailer park near the end of the runway. The engine separation was attributed to the damage to the pylon rigging structure holding the engine to the wing, caused by faulty maintenance procedures at American Airlines. while maintenance issues and not the actual design of the aircraft were ultimately found responsible for the crash. The accident and subsequent grounding of all DC-10s by the Federal Aviation Administration added to an already unfavorable reputation of DC-10 aircraft in the eyes of the public, caused by several other incidents and accidents involving the type. The investigation also revealed that other DC-10s with damage caused by the same faulty maintenance procedures. The faulty procedure was banned and the aircraft type went on to have a long passenger career. It has since found a second career as a cargo airplane. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is our rival service, Voice of Indonesia with Focus. The theme of today's focus is ASEAN Economic Community pushes expansion of Indonesian franchise business to other countries in Southeast Asia. Franchise business is still the most promising business in Indonesia. In fact, the franchise business can be an economic power of Indonesia. Director General of Domestic Trade of the Trade Ministry, Cahya Widayanti at the opening of International Franchise License and Business Concert Expo and Conference, IFRA, in Jakarta on last Friday, said franchise business turnover reaches 172 trillion rupiah per year, and it is still potentially increasing up to 10% per year. The most popular sector of franchise are food and beverage, education, beauty, and health. The franchise businesses also absorb labor as many as 90,000 people. She also said that currently there are 700 types of franchises with 25,000 outlets spread across Indonesia. Of these, 63% is local ones and the remaining is foreign. Cahya also said that the Trade Ministry keeps encouraging franchise business according to the Government Regulation No. 42/2007. Indonesian Trade Ministry is ready to help the franchisors by providing coaching and training. If a franchise business provides access, the economy is much better to expand ahead. Meanwhile, some local franchises that had been expanding abroad are like Alphamart, Kebab Baba Raffi, and Esteller 77. Meanwhile, Chairman of Indonesian Franchise Association, AFI, Anand Sukandar said that Indonesian people in seeking economic opportunities are very creative. Economic opportunities are obtained from the franchise businesses. He also said that the Indonesian Franchise Association, held by IFRA at JCC in Jakarta on May 19 until 21, 2017, the franchise businesses that participated in the International Franchise License Business Concert Expo and Conference are in automotive, food and beverage, travel, property, education, logistics, spa and health and entertainment. A total of 150 companies with 350 brands enlivened the exhibition. Taking the theme Take a Chance to Become an Entrepreneur, AFI invited its members and prospective new franchisors to develop business not only in the national level but in ASEAN region as well. Another further said that ASEAN Economic Community AEC should not be seen as a threat of invasion of foreign franchise to Indonesia. Conversely, it may also be used as a means to penetrate the business to various countries in Southeast Asian region. AFI also encourages the franchisors to expand their businesses by utilizing digital technology. This can be done through the utilization of existing social media platforms to support digital campaigns or create sites that provide information about franchise products and services to be offered. Listener, that was Focus Today. Thanks for listening. Read by Rahmana.
Here is news in brief. The blast at Kampung Melayu Terminal on Wednesday night gets serious response from President Joko Widodo. Home Affairs Minister Cahyo Kumolo has called on Indonesians to step up early detection measures and fight against all kinds of terrorism and radicalism. The National Police Spokesman Inspector General Satyo Wasisto alleged the suicide bombers in Kampung Melayu East Jakarta used pressure cooker bombs. The Indonesian badminton team defeated Danish squad in Group 1D 3-2 of the ongoing Sudirman Cup badminton tournament, which was held in Gold Coast, Australia, on Wednesday. That was Nusin Brief of Air Radio Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusmawati. Thank you for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to culinary tour to South Sulawesi. Stay tuned. Listeners, Paria or Pare is a fine plant originating from tropical Asia. The shape is long, with rough skin like prickly. It also tastes bitter. This plant is usually cultivated to be used as vegetable or medicinal ingredients. In East Asian countries such as Japan, Korea, and China, drugs are used for treatment such as digestive disorders, boosters, and vomiting stimulant. This plant has been extracted and packaged in capsules as herbal or herbal remedies. In addition to treatment, pare is also consumed and processed into various foods in Indonesia. Especially in South Sulawesi, pare is processed to become food called paria kambu. Listeners, paria in Makassar is pare, while kambu in Makassar means content. So paria kambu means pare fruit, which is given the content such as chicken or fish. But the most commonly used stuff is fish. How to make paria kambu is not easy because it requires special skills to be able to hide the bitter taste of the paria. To make it, the inside contents of the paria are first cleansed until empty. Then the paria is cut into pieces. Furthermore, the empty part is filled with a mixture of grated coconut that has been fried and the fish that has been cooked. Types of the fish vary according to the taste. Both materials are then smashed and inserted into the pari hole. As a complement, we can add some pepper garlic and onion and lemongrass that has been mashed together. Do not forget egg white. One ready coconut milk is then cooked until boiling. When the coconut milk has boiled, the paria that has been filled with the ingredients is then put into a batter of coconut milk and then it is cooked. Do not forget to add a little salt according to the taste. Listeners, Paria Kambu is very delicious if enjoyed with a serving of warm rice. Pare bitter taste is not so pronounced because mixed with fish stock that has been processed. The delicious taste is from the coconut milk of this food, although a bit bitter. There are still people who hunt this culinary. But to find Paria Kambu is not easy. This culinary is sold during Ramadan and made as a breaking menu. The price is relatively cheap. Listeners, Paria Kambu is one of culinary types of Makassar Sulawesi, which is now increasingly difficult to find. To continue the popularize and explore traditional food of Makassar, one of Paria Kambu Tourism and Creative Economy of Makassar City held traditional food Vaganza event. The event was held on 20 to 21st May 2017 at the Mandala Monument in Makassar. Makassar culinary variety displayed both traditional culinary and modern one that has been developed from local culinary. The traditional food Vaganza 2017 highlights traditional dishes in a more modern way in a bid to attract the attention of the public. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonderful today with the topic Paria Kambu. We will meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Welcome back to our regular segment, Miscellany. In today's edition, we are going to inform you about Gawai Dayak Festival 2017. Stay tuned. Listener, on May 20th, the 32nd Gawai Dayak Festival 2017 in Pontianak, West Kalimantan, was opened by the West Kalimantan Governor and National Dayak Forum President, Cornelis. This year, the theme of the festival is about increasing tolerance in religion. This theme has brought peaceful message in Indonesian unity and Pancasila ideology. Gawai Dayak is a Thanksgiving tradition after harvesting the crops. The event is held every year in Pontianak and attended by Dayak tribes all over Indonesia and Malaysia. This event has been an annual agenda in West Kalimantan. This year, the event is held in Betang Panjang Traditional House of Dayak Tribe from May 20 to 27, 2017. The event was opened with Dayak traditional dance in the yard of Batang Panjang House. The native origins of United States Indian tribes also participate in the event and perform their musical instrument. For 1 week, the event also performs cultural parade, fashion shows and culinary, traditional games, singing contests and dance, and other performing arts. This event is not only for Dayak people, but also for anyone from any tribes who come. For Dayak people, Gawai Dayak has ceremony to do in the city and Rumah Panjang, which means long house. Food is offered to the god of paddy for good result. On the ritual ceremony, the chief tribe will read some magic and give chicken blood on the offering. After the ceremony, Gawai Dayak will be officially started. Aranyai or banana tree will be displayed in the middle of the room and completed with food and drink. They will also visit their family and friends, so-called ngabang. The traditional clothes will be worn along with their unique jewelries. The Gawai Dayak festival will be closed and ended after the banana tree is taken down. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Miss Alini that informs you about the Gawai Dayak Festival 2017 in West Kalimantan. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you on the next Miss Alini.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Thank you for joining the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. Listener, the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017 ended on April 30th, and now is the time you've been waiting for. The announcement of the winners of Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. Based on the Indonesian Tourism Ministry letter dated on May 5th, 2017, on the winners of Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017, here are the winners. Mitsuaki Horike from Japan, Takashi Kawai from Japan, Akio Uemura from Japan, Prithviraj Purkayastha from India, Pradeep Chandra Kundu from India, Adita Pritika Subramanian from India, Titong Yang from China, Gong Lei from China, Chao Yanping from China, and Michael Cunningham from Australia. On behalf of Indonesian Tourism Ministry and Voice of Indonesia, we would like to congratulate all the winners. The winners are invited to visit Indonesia from May 27 until 31st, 2017. Those who have been mentioned as the winners in this announcement must complete their travel documents and prominent figure form and send them along with your photo to our email address, wiquiz2017@gmail.com. wiquiz2017@gmail.com. Once again, congratulations, and we are looking forward to seeing you in Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of Radio Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with Minuka in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern. As usual, we start today's Music Corner by listening to one rhythmic rock song arranged by an Indonesian rock musician, Ian Antono, entitled Tangan Tangan Setan.
Wajah kau tak jadi ternoda, menutup. mana meliarkan kau baca di pagar atau di jalan raya, di mana mana akan kau temui kata-kata tanpa arti. Ayo pelihara kotamu, hentikan tangan setanmu. Sadarlah, hey hey, semua milik kita sendiri. Janganlah coba engkau nodai.
Just listen to a song from Indonesia's lady rocker, Nicky Astria. She is a singer from Bandung, West Java, who bravely enlived in Indonesian pop rock music in the 80s to the 90s. At that time, rock song was not very familiar with Indonesians. The rock music is often assumed as a reflection of the explosive soul with a characteristic appearance that is far from clean. That makes rock music not too popular amidst Indonesian people. But if you listen deeply, most of the tones on the rock song are sentimentally rhythmic. There are lyrics which becomes an expression of the music composer. Well, listener, let's listen to a song from Nicky Astria entitled Jarum Neraka.
Thank you.
Ricky's career in the rock music cannot be separated from the role of the rock musicians Ian Antono. The strength of the song that becomes her character is sound, which is packed with domination of the voice of the lead guitar metal. No wonder her songs are very popular with young people who search for their identity. Okay then, listener, to close today's editions of Music Corner, let's listen to a song from Nicky Astria entitled Uang. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening and I'll see you on the next Music Corner.
Uang bisa bikin urat senantiara kepala. Uang bikin mabuk kepaya.
Salute. antara kita telah tak ada rasa saling seia sekata.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta
1-0011 Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VOI Indonesia.